Do you agree that pedophilic images of children should avoid going to prison?
Have your say on today's big phone-in.
Call 03-459-455-555.
The JVS Show.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
So Britain's most senior child protection police officer has said that paedophiles who look at images of children but don't do anything more than that should not be sent to prison. Chief Constable Simon Bailey, he says that police resources should be focused on the most dangerous offenders who pose an actual physical threat.
A low-risk paedophile is somebody that we have been able to identify through very effective risk assessment tools that we are able to make a judgment that says this person is unlikely to physically abuse a child. They are still viewing images. These individuals should still be arrested. They should still be put onto the child sex offences register. They should become a registered offender. The numbers have just reached the point whereby the police service, with dealing with all the other expectations it has upon it, has now got to deploy its resources against where the greatest threat lies. And on some occasions, these men who are committing crimes, who need to be arrested, but they're not posing a threat to children physically, and therefore I'm saying that we need to look at alternative solutions.
Well, I'm very interested to hear how you react to that parent. Maybe you're a parent and you are absolutely horrified at what you've just heard. Maybe you think to yourself, this is just absolutely outrageous that a paedophile who, okay, has not actually carried out a physical assault on a child, but somebody who looks at images of child sexual abuse, maybe you think that person deserves to be punished most forcefully and to send out this message that people will get away with it as you see it. Maybe you think that's very, very unhelpful. 03-459-455-555. Or maybe you feel that there is a different kind of treatment slash punishment for people who do commit that crime. Maybe you don't think locking someone up in prison for looking at images of child sexual abuse, maybe you don't think that's necessarily a very effective way of solving the problem. Is there something else that you can think of we should be doing as a society? Juliet Grayson is a psychotherapist and chair of Stop So, an organisation which works with those at risk of sexual offending or re-offending. Morning to you, Juliet.
Good morning.
Can we just break this down a little bit? Because I'm sure you know an awful lot more than many of us listening to this programme this morning. But do we know yet what causes somebody to become a paedophile?
There are multiple causes, or at least that's my experience. There's a chap called James Cantor who's done a lot of research, and he's found that the brains of paedophiles, he worked with paedophiles who've been convicted, are actually different from the brains of the general population. And from that, he has recognised that this is, for some people, but not for everyone, a sexual orientation, like being heterosexual or homosexual. Some people have a sexual attraction to children. And from his research, he would say that it's hardwired, and actually he says it's formed in the fourth or fifth month of pregnancy. So even before the child is born, their predisposition to being attracted to children is already formed. So that would be some people. Other people have had trauma in their history, often around the age of 8 or 9. So it might be that there's been violence or some trauma in their own history, and that seems to, if you like, twist the sexual template so that they start to get attracted to something different from what the majority of the population would be attracted to.
So do we know what kind of percentage of paedophiles are born paedophiles and what kind of percentage are turned paedophiles by something that occurs?
I don't think there are any stats on that at the moment. I haven't come across any statistics on that, no.
But what's your gut feeling as someone who works in this field?
Well, I would say probably of the people I work with, 50% are, if you like, turned paedophiles, if you like to call it that. But let me also make another distinction. Being a paedophile means that you're attracted to children. That doesn't mean there are plenty of non-offending paedophiles who have never looked at a child abuse image, who have never touched a child, who have the desires, they have the attraction, but they have never acted on that. So it's important that we make the distinction between being a paedophile, which is someone who has the attraction, and being a child molester, who's someone who acts on the attraction. And one of the reasons why it's really important that we make that distinction is because we need to make it okay for people to come forward for help. We are getting approached at Stop So by people, because what we do is we offer therapy in the community all the way across the UK to anyone who's got any sexual offending behaviour or feels at risk of committing a sexual offence. And we will offer them therapy within about a week of them coming forward to us. We can often start it, you know, within a matter of days.
How does that treatment work? Because if we think of any sexuality, whether you are heterosexual, whether you're homosexual, your sexuality and your sexual drive is something that you largely have no control over. How do you work with a paedophile who, of course, has a sexual preference that the vast majority of us in this country and in the world find absolutely abhorrent? How do you work with that person to stop them wanting to act out their sexual tendencies?
So it depends. If it's someone who is born that way, let's say, then we're going to have to help them have strategies to never become a child molester by avoiding being around children, by being aware of triggers that make them more vulnerable to act out. So becoming aware of when they get the classic ones are hungry, angry, lonely and tired, which make people more likely to be susceptible to act out on whatever their own personal tendency
is.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about for people who are alcoholics, for people who are food addicts, any addict of any kind, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, that's the kind of classic four issues that are likely to make someone move towards acting out. But for the people who've had a trauma in their history, by offering therapy and working with them closely around that trauma, often you can heal the trauma and then the desire to act out falls away. So then they no longer have the same motivation to commit offences.
Is this treatment successful? Because there'll be some people listening to this program who will think to themselves, look, paedophiles, whether they are born paedophiles or whether they turn into a paedophile because of something that happens, they should be considered evil monsters and they should be locked away from society forevermore, and they shouldn't be given treatment because they don't deserve treatment. How do you respond to that?
Well, the problem is that there are, according to the National Crime Agency in 2015, there are 750,000 men in Britain with a sexual interest in children. And we currently have 86,000 people in prison in total, including murderers and burglars and everybody else.
Just give me those figures again. 750,000 paedophiles in this country.
750 men with a sexual interest in children is how the National Crime Agency phrased it.
Oh, my God. And how many in prison?
And we have a total prison population, including murderers and burglars and everybody, of 86,000.
Okay. But do we know how many people in prison are in prison for child sexual offences?
I don't have that statistic on the top of my head. 17% is in my mind, but I'm not quite sure whether that's
okay,
right.
The first figure you gave us, 750,000, is terrifying.
The point is, we can't lock them all up. There simply isn't space, and even if we lock them up, they're going to come out. You know, they don't get locked up forever. Plus, it costs 86,000 a year to lock somebody up, including court costs and police costs. And so we at Stop So, we've helped 425 people to the end of December last year. If a quarter of those would have gone to jail and haven't actually gone to jail, we've saved the UK almost £7 million.